Welcome, you guys. It has been a while. This is Erin K. Monahan. If you are just joining the podcast, and if this is your very first episode, I'm so glad that you are here. It has been a couple months, and the reason being is that we found out we're having another baby. So I'm very excited for baby number three. But if you've ever been pregnant, and you have children, you know those first couple months totally just exhaust you and put you on your back. So I'm just now coming out of that. And so I'm excited to get back to this. I'm feeling a little bit more energetic and ready to get back here. And I love hearing from those of you who were listening before and were like, "Where did you go?" That made me smile, and it made me excited that people are listening and gaining so much value from this podcast. So I'm excited to be back, and I'm excited that you're here. And today I want to dive into another topic, as everyone is gearing up for back to school, or maybe you're already back to school. It's that time of shifting, what's it called? The routine. Shifting the routine back into the groove, and the potential for all of these anxieties and perfectionist tendencies to come up again. I feel like school kind of triggers this, unless your kids are in like a Montessori school. But anytime we're around other peers, anytime we're in just society in the world, the society in the world, you guys, like sets us up to feel bad about ourselves. Even as grown-ups, right? Like you feel this, you can't even walk into the grocery store without seeing a magazine of some skinny woman that you don't look like. And I feel you and I get it. So this is a daily battle, and this is a daily setting of intention and constantly monitoring our thoughts. So what I want to talk about today is how to help your child never have a bad day again. Okay, now is that realistic? Well, listen and you will see, because when you change their thinking at a young age, this will slingshot itself into adulthood. So any changes you make now with them, any effort you put into now is only going to benefit them in the future. Is it a process? Yes. Is it hard and complicated? No. Okay, so I'm going to help you spot the hidden signs of their perfectionism and help you change them with ease. I'm all about ease. We don't have time for complicated stuff. Right? So here's how we're going to change them very easily in your home. You can do all of this at home. So let's dive in. Now, if you guys would like to be more interactive, as I wish this was like, call in with your questions sort of thing. I got to figure out how to do that. But if you would like more interaction, if you want to talk to me directly, I have a fantastic Facebook group. It's called Growth Mindset for Kids. It's free. It's growing like crazy. I'm super pumped for just the people in there that I've met and that are enjoying and benefiting from the podcast. There's blog articles, there's resources that I post in there all the time, and I'm in there answering questions. Every week, sometimes every day, just depends. So, if that is something you would like, I love to see you in there. Please come join us. It's a fabulous community, and it just creates this sense of, oh, I'm not alone. And that's my favorite thing, because we feel, or we can feel, very alone in these situations, especially when, if you're like me, you are, excuse me, dealing with the schools, and the schools don't know how to help you. The teachers don't know how to help you. The counselors don't know how to help you. And you feel like you're lost for resources and support, and you got to go out and find this on your own. That's what happened to me. That's why I created this, because it's never just us. We are never alone in our situation and our circumstances. So please know it's not just you. And so I'm so glad that you found me and this podcast, and come join the group, and I'd love to get to know you more. Okay, so let's dive in. So, how many of you have had your kid come home, or at the end of the day, like you thought the day was going great, but they are in this like all or nothing attitude, and they're just like, "Oh, I just had a bad day." And you're like, "Wait a second, we played all day, you had fun with your friends." and or you know like as you said school was great and we went out to dinner and like we did all these fun things, like how did you possibly have a bad day, right? And it seems like totally irrational. It always seems more dramatic when my kid is exhausted. I don't know about you. It's like the barrier comes down and these real thoughts and feelings start to come out, and that 5 minutes of struggle or failure or feeling bad gets magnified into this entire day, and they've let it affect their entire day, and they've been thinking about it all day, and now it's just coming out, okay? And when this happened, I was honestly shocked. Like, we had just spent the day at the zoo. We played with a friend for like 2 more hours. He went off to soccer practice, his favorite thing in the world. And in my mind, I was like, how is this anything less than amazing? Like, I don't even understand. So, if you've ever been there, when your kid just seems like they're being a drama queen, I get it. Okay. And I even said, are you joking? Which, PS, is not the best thing to say. But he was in tears, and his tears told me that he was decidedly not joking, right? So what in the world could have happened? So I'm asking him, and he proceeds to tell me of this stressful half hour before we left for the zoo. Or before we left the zoo, we were at the zoo, we were about to leave. And he was stressed out because he didn't have time. Oh my gosh, I gotta get some water. Sorry, you guys, hang on. Okay. Gotta live a scratchy throat in the middle of a podcast. Okay. So we're at the zoo. We're about to leave. This is with like an organized trip. So it wasn't like, oh, I can just wait around. He didn't have enough time to go to the gift shop. Okay. And the bathroom lines were long. And so there was this accident that he had, and it was hot, and the water fountain was not good enough. We needed a drink from the gift shop. And these very few small but important moments in his mind totally messed up this perfect day, right? And if you think about it, like how often does this happen to us as adults? We have a few unexpected annoyances in the morning, maybe, and we allow it to set the tone for the day, or some weird interaction at work, maybe like 10 minutes with your boss or a coworker, and it worms its way into our minds and it stresses us out and it keeps us awake at night. Maybe it's a disagreement, a mistake, a misunderstanding, an unexpected bill. It could be anything, right? Or we simply had expectations. We simply envisioned something going differently, right? And then we feel let down, we feel disappointed. Totally normal, because as humans, we resist change. What we know is comfortable and safe. Even if it makes us miserable, when we're in the habit, even if it's a bad habit, it's comfortable, right? And for a perfectionist, you, if you're a perfectionist, you probably have an idea in your mind about how it's going to go, and it's going to go exactly this way, and you've got it all planned out. And if anything changes, well, it throws off your groove because suddenly it made your comfortable little mindset into the uncomfortable. And if you're like me, I'm a recovering perfectionist, I call myself, and I don't like surprises because it throws off my sense of control. And control is an illusion, but that's another podcast. So relate this back to your kid. To your perfectionist child, the world is ending. It is spiraling out of control, and they are very upset. Okay. And it's important to remember that their perspective on the world is quite different than ours, right? It's everything is a bigger deal. They don't know about the responsibilities of adulthood. But also, I mean, it's kind of the same. If I was on a trip and shopping was a highlight of that trip, which I did not know about him, but there you go, I too would be totally bummed if I ran out of time. If I had to wait in a bathroom line so long that I ended up a mess and embarrassed and had to throw away my own underwear so people wouldn't know what happened, like, hello, mega embarrassment, right? And if I was hot and tired and about to have to go sit on a bus where a bunch of my friends all had these nice cold drinks and I didn't, like, that's like lame as fuck, right? I mean, I'd be pissed too. You feel like you're missing out, You didn't get to do what you wanted to do. It puts a damper on the end of your day. So if you put yourself in their shoes for a minute, you will get it, like almost instantly. But we don't do that, right? We tell them to calm down, just get over it, you'll be fine, and their feelings get swept under the rug. And it's easier for us as parents to pull rank and just tell them to get over it than it is to deal with the uncomfortable emotions of our kids. Okay? Why are these emotions so uncomfortable? The truth is, it often triggers our own uncomfortable emotions that we probably never dealt with. Otherwise, why are we so afraid? And yes, it's inconvenient sometimes, but more on that later. But my point is, when I stopped to think about what my kid was experiencing and I talked about it with him openly, I could see that these small moments really had an impact. He felt shame, he felt disappointment, embarrassment, and he allowed it to color his entire day, as kids do, right? This is perfectionism at its finest. Humans do not like change. And it makes me laugh because we're wired for it, right? Like we grow as children, we change every day. We move houses, we change jobs, we have kids, we get new pets. I mean, all kinds of stuff, right? We try out a new grocery store. We're wired for change, but we resist it. It's this safety thing we have in the brain. If it's unfamiliar, we're wary of it, and all kinds of red flags start going off, which is an internal mechanism that is really great to have when you're in actual danger, right? Like that uneasy feeling that you have if you're walking alone at night, or if you were in an alleyway by yourself, which, don't do that, or if you're about to be attacked by a tiger, in the wild or something, okay? That is when it actually is very useful. So you don't want this thing to go away. However, that's like the caveman brain. Right? And it doesn't know the difference between imagined danger and actual danger. And perfectionists love a plan. We freaking love a plan. We love the control, imagined control, and we love the expectedness. Okay? We love being certain of what's coming, and we know it's all going to go exactly the way it was supposed to, right? Which never happens, like ever. But in our minds, it does, and we think it's going to, so we bank on it. And then when unexpected changes come up, which are inevitable, we freak out. It's uncomfortable, we don't like it, and we turn on a lot of cues, body cues, that signal how uncomfortable we are. And these are what you can look for in your child. Look for these little signals, okay? You see them every day. And if you're like I was, you just simply have no idea that they're connected to this idea of low self-worth, not being good enough, trying to prove something to the world, and deeper underlying feelings that come out as anger and tears and frustration. Okay? So today, I want to help you identify the sneaky ways that perfectionism can show itself in your child. So you can not only understand why they're acting the way they are, but so you can help them get past it and feel more confident and calm. So here are three different behaviors that can clue you in to this negative fixed mindset. This is fixed mindset, that everything is horrible, it's all going wrong, there's nothing I can do to change it, so on and so forth, and tools that you can use to help them shift it. Okay? So let's dive in. Let me get another drink of water. Okay, the big one. Number one is anxiety. Let me make sure we're still recording here. Okay, good. Just checking. Okay, anxiety. Anxiety is a form of fear. If your child is anxious and worried all the time, let's be real. It can be exhausting. It can be embarrassing. It can be very inconvenient for you. Okay. Plus, you don't know how to make it better. You get it because Lord knows you are a nervous Nelly yourself. I'm waving at you. I see you. I'm one of you. Okay. But just like you, I learned to live with it, and like we've made our way, right? So That's fine and good and well, but you've heard about how anxiety affects the body. It's all over science these days, and we know that not only is anxiety unhealthy for the body, like when your cortisol is sky high 24/7, but it's keeping your child from reaching his or her full potential. Being afraid all of the time means you're feeling relieved just to make it through the day unscathed. Like you survived, yay! Okay? In a child, this can show up in really obvious ways, like nervousness, tears, verbally saying, I don't want to, or I'm scared. But other more sneaky ways may be at play here too, like not sleeping at night, having tummy aches, being overly sensitive or emotional, always sick, having headaches, apologizing too much, wanting to stay home, asking for lots of lights on at night. Like, my kid basically sleeps on the surface of the sun and still asks for a flashlight. Like, every light is on. I don't know how he sleeps at all. But they don't know how to explain the feeling. Think about it. If you didn't know what nervous was or anxiety was, how would you even describe it? It's not that easy. So watch your child closely. Is he or she having any of these other symptoms? Does it seem like you're having to do so much just to help them to be comfortable? And if so, don't worry. Many of us have survived it. Many of us have overcome it, and so can you. Okay, so here's what you can do. I know that you're already waiting on them hand and foot because they're a kid, right? You gotta do stuff for them, they're needy, I get it. And I know you've been trying everything to make them feel better, only for it not to work, and you eventually get exasperated and you just give up. You're like, fine, go be mad, I don't care. There's nothing I can do to help you. Your choice, right? I've been there. It's frustrating. This takes massive patience. This is not easy. But this one thing alone will help their feelings shift faster and more effectively. Are you ready? Sit and listen. Just sit and listen to them. We are always in such a rush. We are always like, yeah, okay. Okay. You might have to get through some of like the, oh, I did this at school today, I did that at school today first. Or nonsense about something else that they did, but if you sit and listen long enough, they will start to pour out their little hearts and tell you everything that's going wrong and exactly why it's so horrible and how their life is over. They will, okay? And you can ask questions to pull out even more of what's going on. I'm very serious, okay? Be brave about this. I know it sounds terrifying, but isn't it true that we just all want to be heard? Especially when the world isn't quite right and we need someone else to know it and just talk us off the ledge, right? It's easy just to tell them, oh, you'll be fine, honey, go to sleep. And I mean, like, I still do this because the 10th time out of bed, I'm like, you've got to go to bed. But they're left alone with their fears and they don't have anyone to guide them. Okay? It's not like they're talking this out with their girlfriends or their guy friends like we do as grown-ups. We all need this. That's what our closest friends are for. So we can be our crazy neurotic selves and not be judged. And you are that person for your child. I know you want them to be telling you things when they're older. That's what every parent wants. Oh, I hope they tell me when they're, having like a heartbreak or they're whatever, depressed or whatever. They want to tell you that, but you have to start now, setting that foundation, showing them that you do have time and interest in them. Okay, this is how. So listen and ask questions. Get on their level. Validate every little emotion and fear. There is nothing that can be off the table, okay? Everything is okay. Let them know that they are okay, that it's not weird to feel what they're feeling, okay? And this seems like it's going to be a really involved process and it's going to take a long time, but it won't take as long as you think. They just need permission to feel their feelings in a safe place and to know that what they feel matters and is okay. Like, where else do they have this in the entire world? You're it. Okay? So that's anxiety. Number two, frustration. So the other night, my kid got so mad about dropping his toothbrush in the sink that he yanked the faucet handle and it broke. And like, he just turned 7. I'm like, dude, come on. So the fallout in my house from second grader imperfections, it's still rough sometimes. You are not alone. Even with all this work, sometimes we just snap, okay? We're people. And I don't know why he got so angry with himself, but it happens often, which is why this business exists and why I wrote the Celebrate Your Mistakes book. All of that was to help myself and other people like myself. There is nothing wrong with feeling frustrated or expressing it, okay? Obviously, set some boundaries so your kids aren't destructive and breaking your stuff. The problem comes in with when they're frustrated with themselves instead of a situation. Situations happen. Things you can't control. Plans go south. People flake. Unexpected shit comes up. And understandably, we get a little miffed or put out about things from time to time. Circumstantial frustration is normal. People let us down. Okay? But being frustrated with yourself, that is just straight up self-hate because it never ends. We replay that tape in our head of how stupid we were or how incompetent we are over and over and over again. And we do this as grown-ups, okay? Not giving ourselves the grace that we would give others, beating ourselves up for doing less than extraordinary, and putting ourselves down about anything is straight perfectionism. Okay, so think about it like this. Would you be mad at your kid for not doing the thing that you failed to do? Put your child in your own position. You're way more understanding. Would you be so unforgiving and judgmental of them if they were in your situation? Would you berate a young person for failing at something? Of course not. Okay, but we do it to ourselves every day, and it's toxic. If your kid is being hard on himself, it needs immediate attention because this is what is happening. And we lightly brush over it and we color it in this, oh, I'm a perfectionist. Ha 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 ha. Perfectionism is toxic. So watch them and see when they get frustrated. Is it with the situation or is it with themselves? Very, very different. Okay, and here's what you can do. First and foremost, wait for them to chill out. Direct them as you need to, like we beat up our pillows, not our sink fixtures, for example, but allow them, like within dealing with anxiety, to feel whatever they feel. Don't try and help them just yet. Just let them be angry. You already know it's impossible to talk to them while they're having a tantrum, right? When we're angry, we don't want someone throwing solutions at us. I don't. Or telling us to feel better. Personally, it just pisses me off. Like, give me my space to feel my feels. And when I am ready, then we can problem solve. So notice and assess once he's calmer, and then start asking questions. And you may need to dig in a bit to help you understand what's actually happening. Why is she upset? And what happened, in her words, are great starting points. And then keep going. The goal is to get them to eventually realize that they're angry with themselves. And this is where you can start to change their thinking into positive self-talk. Okay, so let's use my broken sink situation as an example of this conversation that you can have at home. So I notice that he's freaking out. I wait till he's calm, and I'm like, "Buddy, why were you so upset in the bathroom?" And he says, "Oh my gosh, I kept dropping my toothbrush, and it just made me mad." Well, why did it make you mad? Because I just kept trying to do it, and it wouldn't do it right. Okay. So you were frustrated, you couldn't get it to do what you wanted. Yeah. Okay, that's annoying for sure. I know when I can't get something to go exactly right, I can get frustrated too. Like what? Okay, so at this point he's asking me, "Oh my gosh, you too? I'm not just not just me." And I give some examples here. Maybe like, I can't find my keys, or my hair looks stupid that day, whatever it is, okay? And then I ask, "Do you think that makes me a stupid person or a bad person because I have to keep trying?" And he looks at me like I'm crazy. "No, mommy, of course not. Of course not." So you don't have to feel bad about it either when it doesn't work. It's okay that it doesn't go right the first time, or even the 10th time. We all mess up all day long. It's okay. And he's like, okay. And I say, it's okay to be frustrated about that. But I don't want you to get mad at yourself because you didn't do anything wrong. You are great. No matter what mistakes you make, it doesn't change how I think or feel about you. Okay? And so on and so on. And you can see how the conversation would naturally progress. I want to point out that the problem they're having will often be totally irrational. Okay? Just let it be so. Go down the rabbit hole with them. Allow it to be absurd. Help them to name their feelings, behaviors, and other concepts that they might not have the words for. But reinforcing the idea that their behavior is separate from who they are is the goal. Okay? Behavior, how you're acting right now, is separate from who I know you to be on the inside. Two separate things. We all make bad decisions. We all make mistakes. That does not define who we are as people. All right, number three, defensiveness. This is another hallmark of perfectionism. It's the person who can't handle clarifying questions. They're already on edge, worried if they're going to get found out as truly not being good enough. And they don't know that they're feeling this way. They're just feeling defensive, right? The only thing worse than our brains spitting this lie of inadequacy is the confirmation of it from others. Okay, so we defend our position tooth and nail. It's okay if I feel bad about myself, but if you confirm that that's actually true, now I'm really low. Now I'm really feeling down because I was hoping that it wasn't going to be true. And even though I'm looking for that external validation, which at the end of the day doesn't matter, it still makes me feel a little bit better, right? I used to be that person that didn't know how to have a disagreement. I would fight back, even if I thought I might be wrong, because deep down, I was defending my own worthiness. If I was wrong, it meant I was unworthy, and it meant I was unlovable. And ultimately, I would end up alone, right? If anyone questioned my position, I thought they were questioning me as a person, and I didn't know how to even consider that I might be mistaken. Okay, I was really fun to be around. I would research, I would read the books, and I would only speak up if I knew I had my facts straight and nobody could, there were no holes in my argument. Okay, every discussion felt like an attack or a confrontation. Needless to say, I didn't have very many deep conversations. There was no room to converse with me about anything. So if your child is defensive, it's the fear of being wrong. That fear of being found out and the fear of not being good enough all rolled into one explosive response. It's just a protective mechanism, and it comes from that feeling of being unsafe. So here's what you can do. Somewhere along the road, you did not mean to do this, but your kid is not feeling like they can trust either you or the situation or something about his or her life. Okay, may not be you at all. All right. But this is an instance of they don't feel safe. Maybe it's at school. Who knows? All right. You can dig into that too. But your goal is to start building trust where you can, which is with you. Even if you can't think of anything you did, it doesn't matter. Don't take it to heart. There's no reason to beat yourself up. Okay. Whatever is done is done. You probably won't even know. You'll ask them. They'll be like, I don't know. Okay. Because they're little. So don't worry about the past. Just focus on now and focus on what you can do to build it. Most people don't know how to build trust. Okay, here's how you do it. 1, 2, 3, 4 ways to build trust. And these all kind of build on each other. First one is transparency and honesty. You are their example. They will mirror what you do, not what you say. Sorry. You know this. We don't want to believe it, but it's true. So take stock. If you need to apologize, do so. Reset the stage for open communication. A great way to do this is to hear them out when they're confessing what they did and talk it out instead of getting raging mad. Okay? We have a rule here. If you tell me the truth, you will be in way less trouble than if you lie. Sometimes no trouble at all, just depending on what it is. Okay? So there's incentive to be honest. Second one, actions have to match your words. Are you saying one thing and doing another? For example, and this can be like very minute, but they will pick up on it. Maybe you say you want to spend more time with your child, but then you spend the whole time while you're playing a game on your phone, checking Facebook, kind of ignoring them. You know they're old enough to get it that you're mentally absent. You're just addicted to your device, and I've been guilty of this, okay? So no judgies. But are you being in integrity with what you're telling your child? Are you actually giving them that undivided attention? This matters because it's these little ways that they feel that they can trust you that will translate to the bigger ways that they feel that they can trust you. Okay, very, very, very important. Even if it's a little thing like I said we were going to do bedtime at this time, but I gave you an extra 10 or 20 minutes. Okay. Even that, which it seems like you're being a nice person, and oh, look at this, look at how much extra stuff I gave you. You're not being consistent to your word, and that makes them question. I know it's hard, right? Okay, and third piece, be open to feedback from your child. This can be tough. We don't want to hear it. We get defensive too, right? But the ability to look at ourselves can make all the difference. You're not perfect, neither are they. And if you're honest, you don't have it all together. And every day is like this giant experiment. So be willing to apologize to them. Be willing to look imperfect in front of them. This is a relationship, it's a two-way street. Yes, you're in charge, but you don't have to act like or look like you always know what you're doing. Okay? And then lastly, remember they're their own person. Separate from you and probably really different. So stay open-minded to what they say and do. Be aware of anything you might be pressuring them to be like. Are you trying to make them like you? Listen to them and read between the lines. Okay, so creating a safe environment is as simple as thinking about what makes you feel safe. Very, very simple. Okay, here's some questions to think about. Do you feel safe if you have someone always questioning you, yelling at you, or telling you how you did it wrong? Do you feel safe if at any time you're honest about your feelings, you get shut down? Do you feel safe if you ask for help and you just get told to do it yourself? Do you feel safe if you're left alone to fend for yourself when you have no idea what you're doing? Hell no. Right to any of those. So put yourself in your child's shoes. These three behaviors, the anxiety, the defensiveness, what was the middle one? I've forgotten my list here. Oh, frustration. Yeah, that's right. So these three behaviors can clue you in to the negative mindset that your child is dealing with under the surface. Rest assured, 99% of the population does not know how to adjust this way of thinking, and our society tends to make it worse. You are the biggest asset to your child in helping them change this now. And the great part is, once they learn to do it, they'll be able to do it their whole lives, which means they have the capacity to turn any quote unquote bad day into a great one. Okay, these simple mindset shifts over time will help them spin these little things around very, very quickly. These are lifelong skills. Okay, now, as a listener of this podcast, I am offering one-on-one sessions to help you go deeper, to help you go further into this and get really specific with you about what's going on in your home and help you tweak this even more personally to you and your child. These sessions are currently, you can do an hour long or you can do 90 minutes. 90-minute sessions are $97. 90-minute sessions, are $147. This is a limited time. My rates are about to double. So if you've been interested in working one-on-one with me for a call or a set of calls, you can get more than one. You can set up a series if you would like to. I always suggest a few because there's usually more going on underneath the surface. But you have the option to just start with one. The cost is doubling by Friday. What is Friday? Today is the 14th, 15, 16, 17th, so August 17th, 2018, the prices will be going up. So if you would like one, please reach out. Either come find me in the group, Growth Mindset for Kids on Facebook. You can message me on Facebook. You can email me, Erin, Erin, at erinkmonahan.com. And let's set something up. Let's get you on the books. And if you have questions, please don't be afraid to ask. I'm here for you guys. And I hope you found this useful today. So thank you so much for listening. Let me know how this goes. And I will see you on, I guess I won't see you. You will hear me next week on the next podcast because we're going to get back into this. And I have about 8 episodes I need to catch up on. So I will see you soon. Talk to you later. Bye.